The Star Sport podcast is brought to you by Access Credit Union. Access Credit Union, funding dreams for over 50 years.
Close your eyes and pull like a dog.
And a new Irish record for Phil Healy, 22.99.
Christy Cooney hands over the Sam Maguire Cup to Graham Canty, Cork All-Ireland champions for the seventh time ever.
Hello and welcome to the Star Sport podcast. My name is Jack McCarron of the Southern Star and I'm joined as always by Star Sport editor Kieran McCarty. Before we kick things off, I'd just like to give a gentle reminder to our listeners and viewers to please rate, review and subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts. The Star Sport podcast is brought to you in association with our friends at Access Credit Union. Access Credit Union, where your bank really does matter. Choose the credit union, choose local, choose community. It's GAA all the way on this week's show as we gear up for the start of the National Football League. And with that, the real beginnings of the Keith Ricken era. With Cork set to travel to Dr. Hyde Park this weekend to take on Roscommon in the opening round of Division 2, we'll be joined by our dynamic analysis duo, Michal Hawley O'Sullivan and Dermot Duggan. We'll also get the lads' thoughts on the departures from Keith Ricken's squad of West Cork Quartet, Rory Dean, Michael Hurley, Sean White and Mark White. Later in the show, we'll chat to the Castlehaven footballer, David Welton, who has been making a bit of a name for himself off the pitch. David, a teacher in Skibbereen Community School, took the reins of the school's Corny Worry side this season and they've managed to reach the semi-final of that famous competition, exceeding all expectations. But Kieran, let's not bury the lead for too long because big time GAA is back and it's the start of a new era for the Cork footballers who take on Roscommon this weekend in Dr. Hyde Park. We'll be joined by our expert panel in a few minutes, but firstly, I wanted to get your own thoughts on the news you broke on Monday, and that was that the West Cork Quartet of Rory Dean, Michael Hurley, Sean White and Mark White will play no part for Cork this season. So what are your own thoughts on that news?
For West Cork, I mean, four big losses in terms of experience and ability. There had been, I suppose, murmurings and noise over the last couple of weeks that some of the lads wouldn't be back in. So just a story I looked into over the weekend after the McGrath Cup final and got it confirmed that, like you said there, Sean White, Mark White, Rory Dean and Michael Hurley, for various and different reasons, will not be in with the Cork footballers this year. And it is a loss because look at Dean there for a second. You're losing one of the most experienced players on the panel. And in fairness to Rory, he's been one of the leaders in this Cork team over the last 4 or 5 years during a very turbulent time for Cork football when they've been up and they've been down. But he was one of the, I suppose, one of the constants through it all. Sean White is another big, big loss, I think, personally, because he was in flying form for Clonakilty in their run to the County Premier Senior Football Championship final last year. He was superb in the semi-final and the final. And he was back at wing back, and that is Sean White's best position. I suppose over the last couple of years with Cork, he's been shoehorned into different areas, and we never really got to see the best of him. We never got to see a consistent run of games. But if you could take the Sean White that you saw with Clonakilty last year and put him in a Cork jersey, you've one hell of a player on your hands there. Mark White, then, he's the young goalkeeper. When you say young, but he's been around for a couple of years too. And Mark was kind of hit the headlines last year with his sweeper keeper role for Clonakilty, and worked really, really well. And for many, they felt that he would be Cork's number one this year because he's a big, strong lad. I said that sweeper keeper role adds something else. He's a good shot stopper, a good set of hands. He's been in a Cork for a couple of years as well, so he has that experience. But he's decided to not to throw his lot in with Cork this year. And then like there's Michael Hurley, who's going to focus on his club football at Castlehaven. And Michael was always a good option for Cork over the last number of years. Okay, he never nailed down a starting berth of his own, but he was a bit of experience and he's at pace that can worry any defence. And he's a fellow who bring on 15, 20 minutes to go, get you a couple of points, win a couple of frees. So Cork have lost a lot of good players there and a lot of experience. And if you add in that Kevin O'Driscoll retired late last year as well, That's five West Cork lads gone off the panel. So in terms of experience, it's leaving a bit of a hole there, because Mark Collins, we don't know yet whether Mark will be back in with Cork. We'd a press briefing with Keith Ricken on Monday morning, and he was telling us that the door is open for Mark, that he's going to meet him again to see what Mark has decided to do. But he did say that when he took the job first, he had heard it indicated that Mark was going to step back inter-county football. So they've had a couple of conversations since, and Keith is waiting to see what Mark decides to do. Obviously, he's hoping that Mark Collins will come back in again, because he's an other-class operator and he has huge experience. And Mark has been in the Cork senior football panel since 2010, and he's seen a lot of ups and downs in that time, but he's just such a classy operator and such a key link man as well. And we saw him at Castlehaven last year. He was starting to find some good form as well. So we have to see what happens there. But in terms of experience, down a good few bodies before the league starts, Jack.
And before we talk to the lads, Kieran, you were in Killarney last weekend to watch Cork take on Kerry in the McGrath Cup final. And I know it was only a pre-season game, but that lack of experience really shone through, because they were missing these players who have played at the highest level over the last number of years. And it told against a very experienced Kerry team, to be fair. But you'd have to think longer term. Obviously, Keith Ricken is beginning a rebuilding job, but it's hard to make sense of the fact that so many experienced players will not be a part of it.
That's it. Like, and Keith has spoken about the rebuild and the big job he has on his hands now. And it is a long-term project, he said. The immediate project is to try and win games, but the long-term project is to create, a better structure around Cork football. So there'll come a day in however long, the next couple of years, where Cork will go down to Killarney and they'll beat Kerry. Like, that is that's the hope of every Cork fan. But it is looking like a long road right now, because, like we said, you've lost so many experienced players there, but you're after bringing in so many young fellas. But you need that experience, lads, too, to kind of to show these young fellas the ropes, to show them what it means to be a Cork footballer, to help them, to use their experience to help them bed in. Because if you're throwing a load of young fellas into inter-county football, it's really sink or swim, you know, and you're going to find out very, very fast whether these lads can do it. Okay, the likes of Brian Hurley, Ian McGuire, when he comes back in, Mark Collins, if he decides to come in, even Sean Powter, fellas like that, they are quite experienced and they will be the big leaders in the dressing room. But when you're looking at the two teams the last day, and I know there's a huge chasm or gap between the development of both. Kerry are genuine All-Ireland contenders. Cork are starting quite a big rebuild. So it's probably unfair to compare them. But when you did look at them, it was almost men against boys at stage, because even in the conditioning of the Kerry lads, they're so much further along in their development than where Cork are right now. And Keith Ricken's job and his hope and his target is to improve Cork. And like I said, that's the mindset. It's the culture. It's the football. It's their conditioning. Like, it's a huge project he has on his hands. But there's no kidding ourselves, Jack. It's quite a big job. And what we saw the last day, Cork are a long way off competing with the big teams for the big prizes. But all they can do is take it step by step. And that's why Division 2 is going to be, this campaign will tell us a lot, far more than the McGrath Cup, where Cork are. And to be honest, it's a tough Division 2. I'm going to quickly run through the fixtures there before we hear from Hawley and Dermot Duggan. But Cork start off away to Roscommon this Sunday. Then they're home to Clare on February 5th. Then it's a tricky and a long trip away to Derry on February 28th. Then Cork are home to Galway on the 26th. Then it's away to Mead on March 13th. Home to Down on the 20th. And away to Offaly on March 27th. So you can see there, like, you've Roscommon, you've Derry, you've Galway, you've Mead. There's four tough games straight away there. And when you're going into a league with very much a new-look team and a new-look squad, and you're down the Barres players for the first couple of games, and you have the injuries to the likes of Killeen O'Hanlon, Liam O'Donovan. We haven't seen John O'Rourke is injured. He's not back yet. And Maurice Shanley's not in there. You're saying, like, Cork need to get off to a good start here, because all of a sudden, a couple of bad results early on, and hopefully not touch wood, the pressure starts to build, and it's a young squad. So we'll have a far better idea after the first couple of league games, but there's no getting away that Keith Ricken has a big job on his hands, but he hasn't shied away from saying that either.
Yeah, and last point then, Kieran, just before we throw to the two lads, this idea of Cork beginning a journey to another rebuild is something we spoke about last year, because throughout Ronan McCarthy's reign, there was always talk of this is a rebuilding job. So now we're starting afresh with a new rebuilding job. How long can Cork football go on in a constant state of rebuilding? Because we could be speaking here in 3 years if things don't go to plan with Keith Ricken. Hopefully they do, of course. But if they don't go to plan and we're starting another rebuilding job, blooding new youngsters again, it's just, there is a danger we could enter an endless period of rebuilding that could last almost a decade if things don't go to plan with this current management structure.
I know exactly what you mean. Like, it's like Cork football seems to be in a constant state of transition over the last number of years. And we'll hear from Hawley soon. And I ask Hawley O'Sullivan this, is this the big reset? Is this the moment where Cork football can really get its house in order and build a very solid foundation for 40 years ahead? And you'd have to hope so. Like, the thing is, we don't know the answer. Like, this will go one way or the other way. Like, you'd have to hope things will go well. I suppose Keith knows the Cork under 20s well, and he knows the talent coming up. He managed Cork to the under 20 All-Ireland back in 2019. And there is some really good players in Cork. Like, even the likes of Sean Meehan is a top class player. And I like to look at Colm O'Callaghan, Mark Cronin, fellas like this. Cork used, I think, 41 players in the McGrath Cup. So Ricken can't be accused of not spreading the search wide. Like, and he's given a lot of young fellas their chance to put up their hand and say, give me a go in the league. But I think it's really this league campaign that we'll start to learn a lot more about where Cork football is. Because realistically, when you look at the championship, it's Kerry Cork in the Munster semi-final in the summer. And at the moment, there's only going to be one winner there. That'll send Cork then into the qualifiers. And that's probably no harm either for Cork, because it'll put him into the qualifiers early. I know I'd be lambasted now for writing Cork off at this stage of the year in terms of the All-Ireland, but you have to be realistic of where Cork stand right now. So these young fellas, they need games, they need inter-county experience, they need to get a couple of wins under their belt, they need to get their belief and confidence going in the right direction, because it's been a tough couple of years for Cork football. There's been a few high moments in there, but there's been more lows than highs. And it's interesting what Keith Ricken said after the game in Clarny on Saturday, that when things went bad at the end of the first half, at one stage it was 1-5 to 5 points after 19 minutes. So Cork were kind of holding their own, but you could see that Kerry were just kind of starting to find their gallop. Kevin O'Donovan got a black card. Cork were down to 10 men and the floodgates opened a small bit. And Ricken referenced this afterwards. He said moments like that were met by silence on the pitch by his players. And he noticed that. And that's almost, it's the remnants of what's happened over the years. When things go bad, the heads start to drop, because they've been there so many times when things just don't go their way in a game. So he said he got a minute at halftime. They had a couple of words with him, kind of, and he was happy with how they responded in the second half. And Cork actually finished the game strong. They got the last 3 points of the game, Brian Hurley, Mark Cronin, and Daniel Dineen. So there was that. There was, you could start to see the start of something in Clarny on Saturday, but you had to look really hard.
You're really digging there to find some source of optimism. But Kieran, let's go and speak to two men who really know what they're talking about when it comes to Cork football, and that's Micheál Hawley O'Sullivan and Dermot Duggan.
We're joined now on the podcast by Hawley O'Sullivan and Dermot Duggan to have a look ahead at Cork's National Football League campaign, which throws in away to Roscommon this Sunday. But before we chat about the league and the campaign coming up and Cork's hopes and targets, Hawley, I'm going to start first. Cork lost to Kerry in the McGrath Cup final in Clarny last Saturday. It wasn't an unexpected loss. Kerry ran out by 12 points. What was the big takeaway that you took away from that game in Clarny?
Well, I suppose that it was hard to take positives from it. With 15 minutes gone in the second half, your full-back, centre-back, two midfielders and centre-forward were gone. Brian Hurley was the only one that remained from the central spine. He was playing along for a lot of stages up front. He's still Cork's most dangerous forward, but it's very, very easy to mark one, if you know what I mean. Very easy to mark one dangerous forward. I suppose, you know, you could... Kevin O'Donovan's black card had a big influence on the game, because Cork were kind of hanging in there before that, even though there was goal chances being conceded on both sides. Kerry got 1-2 before halftime. That finished the game 10 points up. But if you kind of looked at the scoring in the second half, Cork only lost the second half 8-6. So even though there was a big turnover of players from the bench on both sides, they stuck in there without being able to score, without being able to kind of get the scoreboard ticking regularly. And like the big thing as well, and I said it on this week's article, is, you know, the number of turnovers from Cork compared to Kerry, that shows how much further Kerry are down the line. They, you know, Kerry were keeping their turnovers into around the mid-teens, but Cork were well up in the 30s by the time the 70 minutes was up. So, look, a very inexperienced team going down there. A lot of fellas who hadn't played much football at that level, it would have been nicer to see a mixture of a few more experienced fellas thrown in with those guys so that they'd have a better chance of impressing. But, you know, it was a difficult start for a lot of new guys who we'd be hoping might show more as the year would go on.
But just to pick up what Hardy said there, that Kerry are, they're obviously a lot further along their development than this Cork team are, because this Kerry team are genuine All-Ireland contenders. And you could see that by the strength of the team, the name for McGrath Cup final, like, it was bordering on the absurd, really, kind of, when you could bring David Clifford on at a stage when Kerry were 12 points up in the second half. But it's also showed, you know, the huge chasm, the huge gap that is there between Cork and Kerry right now. Kind of, they're obviously, one's Division 1, Kerry, Cork in Division 2, but there's a huge gap between the teams. And is the danger that this gap could grow bigger?
Yeah, it is. When you look back on the championship result of last year, I think it was something like 22 points. So hopefully it won't get any bigger than that, because that's as sizable as you can get in championship games. But there's no doubt about it. They're in two completely different places, Cork and Kerry, at the moment. And I think Keith Ricken, I think, addressed that in one of his press conferences there recently as well. You know, just saying that they're coming from different starting playing fields or playing levels at the moment. You know, and Kerry, I mean, they have years of conditioning. This Kerry team, I suppose, a lot of them have been playing together for the last number of years, and they have years of conditioning. They have years of experience in Croke Park, All-Ireland semi-final and final experience. Whereas this Cork team, as Hawley mentioned there was an awful lot of newcomers on it the last day. So, I mean, it wasn't any huge surprise at the same time that they lost by whatever it was, 11 or 12 points, you know. And in some ways, they did well to hang in there, given the amount of newcomers on the team. But there's no doubt, like, you know, and I think it's not a surprise. Keith Ricken has a huge, you know, task in his hands here to try and turn this around, because it's a long-term job. He mentioned that himself as well. It's a long-term job, not a quick fix job at all.
Holly, like Dermot said, there was a lot of newcomers on this Cork team. And over the three games of the McGrath Cup, I think Cork used 41 players. Obviously, new boss Keith Ricken, he's spread his search wide right across the county to look for new players. But I want to ask you about some players that we know would not be involved this year. On the Southern Star on Monday, we revealed that Rory Dean, Bantry Blues, Clonakilty brothers Sean White and Mark White, as well as Castle Evans, Michael Hurley, will not be involved with Cork footballers this season. How much of a blow is it, first, losing so many lads that could be involved in the first team, but also losing so many lads with experience that could help so many of these younger guys?
Yeah, nice. But did you mention Mark Collins there as well? He's not committed at the moment either. Mm. You know, so look, you're taking out a lot of fellas who played a lot of championship football over the last number of years there. And, you know, you might say Cork haven't done well in the championship and it's time for new guys to come in. But still, these guys had an awful lot of experience and, you know, might have been getting themselves to the level. And you know, considering the championship form that the Whites there in particular showed, you know, Michael Hurley had a good championship also. Grand, as you said earlier, he might be an impact player, but he's still a very dangerous impact player, and he's a player that the likes of Kerry are afraid of when he does get ball in hand. The likes of Sean White, after having such a great season, you know, I find it kind of hard to understand why he wouldn't give it a shot. You know, it might be something that he'd go on to regret definitely in years to come, especially when he was in such great form, in such great shape, and then found himself, you know, playing in the position that he's best playing in again, which was wing-back. He was a shoe-in for me, for the league campaign anyway, for Cork, if he was available, and his brother wasn't far behind him. You know, Rory Dean, I don't know what the exact story was there behind him not taking part, but again, he's up to the 30 mark, I suppose. He hasn't let Cork down for the most part in the past. But, you know, losing a lot of those guys, it kind of makes the start-up and the kind of progression. Is it going to happen slower as a result? Will it take longer for these guys to develop as a result of losing players who have played a lot of championship football over the last years? But look, it's new to us all, and I think we're all going to have to be very patient with this whole scenario, and we'll know a lot more after the first few league games.
Dermot, we had a press briefing with Keith Ricken on Monday when he was asked about Mark Collins, and he said the door is open for Mark Collins. They're going to have a chat at the end of the month to see what Mark's thoughts are. But he did say that when he took the job first, that he had heard that Mark had indicated that he wasn't going to commit to the Cork scene for 2022, but they've had a couple of conversations since. So he's waiting to see what Mark Collins will decide to do. Is the hope that Mark Collins will commit for the year ahead, given his experience, given that he started to find a bit of form at Castlehaven as the championship went on last year too, and given, like we said earlier, that so many experienced fellas have already left the panel. So having someone like Mark there, I think he's 31 now, he's been on the panel since 2010, like, he'd be a great role model for the younger fellas to kind of look up to and follow in his footsteps.
Yeah, 100%, Kieran, I think, because Mark is a player who he's still got that link between the 2010 team and the current team. So, you know, he's got that winning mentality and he knows what it takes to win All Irelands. So I think it's critical, you know, if Keith can get him on board, I think it's a massive, massive plus. But I suppose even besides Mark, you know, I think there's probably two key issues here. You know, there's a short-term plan and short-term goals for Keith, and there's also the long-term goals. And I think in terms of the long-term goals, Keith will probably have to identify a number of players, key leaders or key characters or personalities, you know, solid characters that can drive this whole thing for him. Because any good team or any good panel, it's always player-led and player-driven. And I think if we go back to the 2010 team and the years preceding that, I mean, of course, we had Billy Morgan, there was Conor Coonan, but this was always driven by players like Graham Canty, Anthony Lynch, Noel O'Leary, Conor McCarthy, all these players who set ridiculously high standards in terms of professionalism and all that. And I think people probably have to try and identify some of these characters for Cork. It could be Powter, it could be Maguire. They'll have to be kind of these solid characters that he can build a culture around, and using even the likes of Mark Collins and bring in these new younger players around it. And that's probably the longer term, you know, or at least the medium term plan anyway, in terms of 2, 3, 4 years time, that, you know, we need to develop that culture to get to the level of Kerry and their conditioning and their fitness. And that's probably what we need to do there. But I think in terms of short term planning, you know, he's obviously got a different challenge there, you know, and I suppose he has to marry the two, because he has to get games pretty quickly. And I suppose a short-term goal for them is to probably reach the final of the Division 2 league this year, which is quite attainable. Obviously, it's a challenge because there's some good teams there. We've got Roscommon, Galway, Derry, Down, all formidable enough teams, you know. So I think that is a big challenge in itself, and that's probably the short-term goal, is to reach maybe a Division 2 final.
Holly, do you think Keith, like he said a couple of times, December 8th was when he started with this Cork team, and he's had, what now, 6, 7, 8 weeks, that he obviously realises the size of the job ahead, and it's quite a big job to get Cork from where they are now to where he wants them to be, because he's spoken, like there was there, about the culture of the team, about having the right players, the right characters there. And he feels then, once he gets the structure right, that the football will flow, he said, because he feels Cork have the footballers, but it's about everything else around it, the mindset of players and so on. But how big a job is this to resurrect the Rebels?
I suppose when you take over any team as a manager, the first thing you have to do is get everyone fit and strong. And Cork have a bit to go that way, but if they put huge emphasis on that and improve their fitness levels even by 10-15% from last year, you know, it leads to higher work rate, it leads to game plans being put into action easier, you know, it leads to more appetite from players, their lasting games better, like even in the second half, you know, against I know there was a lot of subs, but in the second half against Kerry, we still looked like, you know, we were running well anyway, if nothing else. With regard to the league, like Dermot said, you know, I think, and I could stand corrected on this maybe, but I think we have 4 home and 3 away out of 7 games, which isn't the worst mix. You know, you could have 4 away and 3 home. The 3 away, Roscommon, Derry, Offaly. You know,
I have the fixtures here, Holly. It's 4 away. It's away to Roscommon, it's away to Derry, it's away to Meath, and it's away to Offaly. So there's 4 away and 3 home.
Neither the one I was missing. So clearly, yeah, it's 4 away, 3 home, which makes it more difficult to get, you know. Like there are teams there that are possibly Division One teams, you know, like Galway, Mead, Down, Derry. They're all going to be huge. And Clare themselves, sure, were every bit as good as Cork last year. So, you know, it is a big challenge. And, like, I know the McGrath Cup was used as a kind of a trial game scenario where you had so many players being used. But it was also probably a chance to try and, you know, nail down some kind of a 10 out of the 15 or 8 out of the 15 that might be starting next weekend against Roscommon, because I've no idea what the Cork team is going to be next weekend against Roscommon. And, you know, like you said earlier, we probably all have a step off picking the Kerry team, and we're not even from Kerry. But, you know, I think that team and what team he picks is going to, and how that performance goes up there, is going to set the tone to a certain degree for the rest of the league. And I know you have the Bears guys to come back in, and there are injured guys to come back in, which will add an awful lot to the panel and to the team. So, look, you know, it'd be great to get a good start against Roscommon away in Hyde Park, but it's going to be no easy task.
Looking at the league, so dear, but looking at the fixtures, like we said, no, it's Roscommon away this Sunday, and then it's home to Clare the Saturday after, and Cork and Clare have been very close the last couple of years. Then it's a tough away trip up to Derry after that, and then it's a home game against Galway. Then you're away to Meath, you're home to Down, and you're away to Offaly. So there is, you could say that the start of the league is tougher than the finish when you've Roscommon, Clare, Derry, and Galway in your first four games. So how important is it for Keith Ricken and this team, given that what he wants to achieve, that he won't want them scrapping for survival in Division 2 very early on. So to get a win or two under their belt and just to build confidence and self-belief in this group.
I think it's huge, Kieran. You know, when you look at the championship, they have Kerry in the semi-final. So, like, you know, going in past form, you'd expect Kerry to win that. So if they're not winning a Munster championship, then they have to put a huge focus on the league, because we can be forever, you know, saying that this Cork team are building, and we've actually been saying that for years now, but there comes a point where they actually have to, you know, act on this promise or on this underage talent. And I think a stepping stone for them to begin with is certainly the league, and they have to target the league here. So, you know, the McGrath Cup probably was an experimental opportunity for Keith, you know, to try out new players and things like that. But I think he has to hit the ground running now from Sunday on against Roscommon and put out quite a strong team, because you mentioned confidence there. This team is clearly lacking confidence because results haven't backed any sort of confidence up, you know. So they have to start off if possible, in their first two games. They need to get a win out of those first two. So it's Roscommon's first game. Is it Clare, you said, is the second?
Clare's the second game.
I mean, if they lose two of those, they're under serious pressure then. So they certainly would want to be getting one win out of those two. And I would imagine that Cork will go strong in their team, or as strong as possible anyway, and not leave too much room for experimentation here.
I'm looking at some of the players that that Keith used in the McGrath Cup. Like I think I said earlier, there was 41 players. So obviously, the search has been wide. Has anyone kind of stood out to you, Hawley, that's kind of caught the eye? Like, straight away, I'm thinking Rory McGuire, Castlehaven. He wasn't someone we'd have spoken about last year in the podcast about being with the Cork seniors this year, but he's come in and he's done well. He got 2 points against Kerry last weekend. I suppose from a West Cork point of view, Joe Grimes from Clannachilty, the Listowelmen, has started all three games in midfield alongside Keane Kiley, and Jack Callaghan got a look in. Fionn Hurley, David Buckley, he hasn't really done too much wrong when he's been involved. John Cooper, Aero Oak is another lad who's got a chance. Is there any fella that you think, okay, he's worked a run of games in the league?
I suppose just looking at the McGrath Cup final, and I saw the other two games as well, you know, it was very difficult for a lot of the players down in Clare, because as Dougie mentioned there, you know, leaders are key, and there didn't seem to be that leadership quality in a lot of places there. And a lot of those players are probably better than what they showed in Killarney, particularly like Sir John Cooper there. You know, he had a baptism of fire there last week at centre-back. But like you said, you know, Rory McGuire certainly impressed in Killarney. He's a big, strong leggy guy. He got 2 points from play. He was always involved. You know, he was definitely a positive. Buckley came on and did very well, won a lot of ball. He's a very physical player, different kind of a forward. You know, Fionn Hurley got a bit of game time. Other than that, last weekend there wasn't many of the new guys stood out. We're still looking at Potter and Matty Taylor being two of the stronger backs. Brian Hurley was the only forward that really showed the scoring class and showed that he could put fear into the Kerry defence. So again, it's who the other five forwards are going to be with Hurley, I do not know. You know, who the midfield partnership is going to be, I do not know. Who 3 and 6 are going to be, I'd be hoping Sean Meehan and Daniel O'Mahony are injury free. If they are, I'd be wondering why they weren't playing last weekend. But, you know, you will, as Dougie said, I would envisage a lot of changes, and hopefully some of the younger guys that made an impression in last year's championship, like Meehan and Daniel O'Mahony and Kyle O'Mahony and these guys, that we'd be seeing all of those next weekend.
A couple of phrases that Keith Ricken used in the last couple of days have stuck in my mind. One was when he was talking to the media on the pitch in Fitzgerald Stadium after the McGrath Cup final last Saturday. He said that a day will come when a Cork team will come out here and hold their own against Kerry. And also talked to him on Monday, he said, good timber takes time to grow. And he said a couple of times, this is a long-term project. And we've all said that here on this podcast. There's no quick fix here with what Keith is trying to do. So patience is going to be so key here, because this is a long road ahead of Cork, and there's going to be bumps, highs and lows along the way. When it comes to patience, we all have to be patient here, don't we? Like, we can't expect Cork to go out and win Division 2. I think when there's some young fellas, we really need to be patient and almost give Key the room to breathe and get his changes of what he wants to do in this Cork team. Let him get his ideas across and just see where it is in what, maybe 2-3 seasons' time.
Yeah, I'd agree with most of that, Kieran, but I suppose the one thing on that is, I suppose we've been trying to play catch up now for a number of years, you know, and there's only a number of times that we can keep saying that we're building, you know. I can just remember the commentary over the last number of years. We just keep saying that we have to be patient, but there comes a time when you have to deliver as well, you know, and I think that's why, obviously, a Munster title or an All-Ireland title is, you know, it's not even something we can even think about right now, you know. So that's where I think that when you think of goals and you think of smart goals and attainable goals, I think a Division 2 final appearance, probably, which is the top two in Division 2, is probably a realistic goal, you know, and they have to be aiming for something, you know. They can't just plod along and say that we're only in the building phase. They have to have a goal at the end of it. And I think that's probably, you know, when they set their goals as a collective unit, it's probably something that certainly is attainable. You know, obviously, there's, as Holly mentioned, there's some very, very good teams there. A lot of teams that have been playing Division 1 over the last number of years. So it's going to be very difficult. But, you know, they shouldn't be happy just to stay in Division 2. You know, obviously, it's the minimum, to be honest. They need to at least stay there, but they should be aiming for a Division 2 final at the very, very least. But it definitely will take time, you know. And, you know, nobody's expecting Munster title this year or the next couple of years. You know, it's going to get time. And there's no doubt, you know, you mentioned there that Keith mentioned that there will be a time, you said, is it when
Cork will come here, as in come to Fitzgerald Stadium and hold their own, as in when Cork will be on a level with Kerry, I think is what he was trying to say.
Yeah, well, I think we'd all deserve that, if not more, and we'd expect more than that, you know, because, like, I suppose, you know, when we grew up, you know, in the maybe the 90s, when Cork were dominant over Kerry, you know, for long parts of the noughties towards the end, you know, Cork were probably better than Kerry as well, even if they weren't always beating him, you know. So I think, you know, certainly we all hope there will come a time pretty soon, you know, that we'll be able to compete with Kerry. And there's no doubt we're not there at the moment, and it will take time. It'll take years. We spoke about the conditioning of Kerry, you know, and how far ahead of Cork they are right now. And it's hard to deny that, you know. There's no doubt about that.
Does this feel hardly like it's almost a line in the sand moment for Cork football? Like, there's a big rebuild about to start here. It's like Keith's pressing the reset button, because it's not about the football side of things, but also culture, mindset, psychological. It's almost a Keith Ricken approach where he's just trying to, I suppose, reshape, redesign, restructure the whole Cork football setup. But he hopes as well, I think, that he can feed into the more competitive county championship structure that we've seen in the last 2 years, where the Premier Senior games and Senior A football have been more competitive. So you'd hope that the players are improving off that. But do you feel like this is a kind of important moment for Cork football where, Jesus, lads, we need to get this one right?
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And yeah, probably realistically, and look, it remains to be seen, like we said, what happens next weekend, but we'll know more then. But staying in Division 2, I think, is a realistic goal, I think, for Cork this year. You know, it's very important to stay there. You know, on top of that, then, like Dougie said, if you get to a final, it'll be absolutely great. But, you know, like, I suppose it is a building process. You know, we need to get our, you know, when you're starting off, like Keith is, getting your defensive setup and getting your defensive structures correct is a good starting point. You know, again, it'll be the challenge this year, who's going to partner Maguire around the middle when the time comes. And look, on paper, as we've seen, there are other very dangerous scoring forwards around that should be able to take the pressure off Brian Hurley. So if we could, you know, and you'd be hoping that the Bears will go on and reach an All-Ireland club final if they possibly can, because that'd be a huge boost for Cork as well. But there are a lot of those Bears guys you saw when they were playing Stacks, the likes of Billy Hennessy and Alan O'Connor, and these guys, very aggressive, powerful backs. You know, Brian Hayes looked like a real, real top-class player, especially when McCricker and Sherlock were being held. So, look, I think, you know, it might take, like, you'd be hoping that we will hit the ground running and, like Dougie said, get at least one win out of the first two. But, you know, there are a huge amount of players to come in between now and the first round of the championship. You know, even the likes of Killian O'Hanlon there, I don't know, is he going to be in the picture, or will he be fit enough in time, you know, to come back in there and add that physicality and that size that we need in the team? Because you could see in Killarney again, we were still physically, you know, far, far smaller than Kerry. And that is a big thing to address early as well for Keatrick, in that the size and physicality of our players. Again, and I'm going back to the Bears again, like, the Bears set a template on how to beat any Kerry team. They absolutely hit them with every single thing that they had in the first quarter or 20 minutes and imposed themselves on them physically. But they have the physicality to do that. And I was a little bit disappointed last weekend that we didn't see more, you know, cockfulness hurling themselves into tackles and showing a way more aggression and way more fire. It was still a kind of a pedestrian enough challenge game kind of a scenario. But, you know, for a new group like that, they should have been absolutely chomping at the bit to impress and try and get themselves into a position where they could be picked for the first round of the National League next weekend. And, you know, that kind of irked me a small bit that we didn't see a little bit more of that, especially with a new management team and a whole new group of players that are all have a chance of winning their place, because it is in a whole new scenario. But, like, Cork are going to have to bring that kind of thing next weekend, because they're going to meet the exact same kind of physicality from Roscommon and Galway and Meath, because these teams are physically further down the line than Cork are as well. And, like, that aggression and absolute massive hunger that every one of these league games is like a championship match. It's going to have to be like a championship match for Cork if we're going to get into the league.
I'm not going to ask either of you to make any prediction for the league or championship, because, like we said here, we can't even predict the Cork team for next Sunday, not to mind what's going to happen in the weeks and months ahead. But the final question to you, Dermot, and we touched them a few times in the podcast, Brian Hurley, he's hit the ground running for Cork this year. He hit 1-6 away against Clare, hit 1-6 at home against Waterford. He got 5 points against Kerry the last year, I think 3 from play was it, and he was Cork's most dangerous forward. And in fairness, what that man's been through over the years to come back and play at this level and to be Cork's top forward now, he deserves so much credit for that. How important will Brian Hurley be for Cork this season, but for Cork under Keith Ricken too, given that he is one of the experienced fellas left in the squad now?
Yeah, Brian will be hugely important. You know, if for a number of factors, I suppose experience alone is one thing. You know, he's been on this panel for quite a long time. You know, and he's a lot of Croke Park experience. He's a lot of experience county finals with Castlelave. You know, so he will bring an awful lot to the table there. But aside from that, his ability, you know, he's superb ability showed in the Cork Senior Championship over the last number of years, and you know he's starting to show it now at inter-county level again, getting back to his very best. And as you mentioned, like, that man deserves massive credit. The amount of work he's gone through to bring himself back to that level, you know, it would have been very understandable had he not put all that work in to come back, you know. So deserves massive credit for it. And, you know, hopefully that he can bring a few more of the new guys in and around him and, you know, bring that kind of a work ethic and that energy and that enthusiasm for the game with him as well, because Cork definitely will need it.
100%, I think.
We'll all be hoping he stays fit the way he's playing at the moment.
Like I was saying, Hardy, the mindset of that man to come back from where he was, to be told you mightn't play football ever again, to see him like go back to the Munster final last year, the first quarter, where he'd carry backs in their arses half the time, and even seeing the last day again, he just sprightly, like, it's great to see him back there, but he's going to be so important this year.
Yeah, but like, sure, we've seen it at club level, and he's the same at the county level. If he gets high quality fast ball in space, one on one, good luck and thanks. You know, he is that dangerous, and he's the only fella. Even look at the game the last day, he's the only fella that you'd pick out of the Cork team that would probably make the Kerry team. You know, we didn't have anyone else really that was up to that standard last day. So look, he is very important, and look, I hope he gets a great run in the league and a great run in the championship, because he's missed so much. And he's probably championed a bit for football. I thought he'd be rested a bit more earlier in the year to make sure we'd have him later in the year, if you know what I mean. But, you know, he's probably mad to play because he's missed so much.
Given the uncertainty and the unknown that we're about to go into in terms of Cork's National League, we don't know what's going to happen. It's actually nice to finish this chat on an optimistic note. So thanks, Holly. Thanks, Dermot, for joining us. And we'll check in again later in the league, and we'll have a better idea of where Cork are heading into the summer.
The Star Sport podcast is brought to you by Access Credit Union. Access Credit Union, funding dreams for over 50 years.
Castlehaven footballer David Welton has been making a bit of a name for himself off the pitch in recent times. David's a teacher in Skibbereen Community School, and he took the reins of the school's Corny Worry side this season, and they've already managed to reach the semi-final of that famous competition, exceeding all expectations set by themselves at the start of the year. And Kieran, you spoke to David about his transition into management at his young age and how it's going for him and how Skibbereen have found themselves at this stage of the competition. So how was David, and what does he make of his new role on the opposite side of the white line?
First off, I want to take full credit for David Welton's fantastic reign as a Skibbereen Community School manager. Years and years ago, David came into us in the Southern Star on work experience to look at sports journalism. And obviously, I didn't inspire him one bit, because he went down a far different route. And he's now a teacher in Skibbe Community School, doing quite well there. And he's the manager of a senior football team now, who's through to Carnaberry semi-final. So if it wasn't for me, and my role in all this, maybe Skibbereen Community School wouldn't be in the last four of the Munster colleges. So I'm just going to put my hand up and just try and take a bit of credit here. But no, in all seriousness, full credit to David Welton and his management team, what they've done this year. It's great to see Skibbereen Community School into the Carnaberry semi-final. Because if you think back, the school is only open, 5 or 6 years now? But before that, St. Faulkner's de La Salle, they were the Skibbe standard bearers, or the West Cork standard bearers, when it came to the Carnaberry. Won the competition 3 times. David went to Faulkner's himself, and he played in the Carnaberry in Faulkner's colours. So he knows what this competition is about. He knows how important it is, how prestigious it is. And he's getting that message across to the Skibbe players. And it's just a good new story, a good local story that Skibbereen are in the last four, as well as Hamilton High School of Bandon, who are in the other semi-final. So you've two West Cork schools in the last four. When David took the reins of the school senior football team at the start of the year, he'll say himself it was very low expectations. They hadn't really made any mark or imprint in the Carnaberry in recent times, but they've started bit by bit. They beat Clonskellige in their first game, and it's gone from there. They were, I think, Clonskellige in their second game they won, and they beat Rathmore in their quarter final a couple of weeks ago. Super sub Jack O'Brien with a late important goal. So all of a sudden they find themselves in a Carnaberry's semi-final, albeit against Tralee CBS, the 2020 champions, and who are a very, very good team. The Green, as they're known, they beat Clonakilty Community College in their quarter-final, beat them quite well. They have a couple of good players in there from Austin Stex, who lost to the Bears in the recent Munster Club Senior Football Final. So there's a tough test ahead for Skibbe, but they're here on merit. They'll be underdogs, but that's not to say they can't cause a surprise, because they have some really good players there. They have 3 Cork Miners from last year. They've put up big scores this year. They've showed character in their last game. So they're kind of ticking all the boxes right now. But before we hear from David, just want to give a quick mention to his management team, because it includes James McCarthy, the Carberry GDA, who was also David's manager at Castlehaven. So the roles are quite reversed here, because David is also a senior footballer at Castlehaven. Paddy Crowley from Skibbereen, the Carberry coaching officer, is always there. And so too is Coleman O'Driscoll. He's a teacher up in the school. And Coleman just deserves a special mention, because he has kept football going in Fáilte's and in the new school for years and years and years. He's always the first to put his hand up to help out with football at Skibbereen Community School. He's manager and he's on his own for countless years. He's done a tremendous job in keeping football alive in Fáilte's and now Skibbereen Community School, and he's involved in this management team as well. And when David Welton himself was in the Corneybury semi-final back in 2014, Coleman was his manager. So it just shows that that connection, that bond is still there. And as you'll hear from David Welton now, he's enjoying life outside the white line. And he's also optimistic that they can cause a huge shock this Saturday. It's a huge weekend for Skibbereen Community School in the Corneybury. And we're delighted to be joined on the podcast by their manager, David Welton, well known for his exploits on the field with Castlehaven. But now you've also ventured into the world of management. David, how are you finding that so far?
Oh, very good, yeah. Outside the white lines now, anyway. Enjoying it, though, to be fair. We're after a good run of it now the last few weeks, and we're looking forward to this weekend for sure.
Before we look at your run to the semi-final, just talk to me about stepping outside the white line with the school. How did all that come about?
I suppose just at the start of the year, they were just looking for a trainer for the senior team. Expectations weren't that high at the start of the year. I think the school hasn't really been performing at the level of the last couple of years, so expectations were quite low. So there was no pressure on me, so I said I'd take it up and give it a shot.
You've surrounded yourself with a fairly handy management team. I saw a photo after your semi-final win, and you, James McCarthy, Paddy Crowley and Colman O'Driscoll, who's obviously been involved with the school for many years and the football side of things. What about the management have you enjoyed? Are you getting to see a different perspective of the game?
Yeah, definitely, yeah. And as you said, they're the lads, they're a big help. Obviously, they have a broad knowledge of the game as well, and coming together, just hopping ideas off each other is very beneficial as well there. And I suppose it's different, I suppose, to playing. You know, you have to be much more clued into tactics, and you have to be clued into what your goalkeeper is doing, your backs, forwards, midfielders. You're kind of watching every position, whereas normally I'd be just in the back, so I just worry about that. But you have to look at it from everyone's point of view when you're out there on the sideline.
Look at it from your own game for a second. Do you think it actually make you a better footballer yourself, the fact that you're getting this overarching view of a football game from the sideline and you're seeing what's going on in different parts of the pitch, whereas, like you said yourself, when you're playing before, you're in defence and you've your job when you're doing it, but now you've almost an appreciation of the entire team and what goes on across the field.
Yeah, sure, you never know, I might be up in the forwards now next year, but I don't know. You're kind of getting a look at everyone. It causes more stress in a way, for sure, in a way, because you're looking. You want your forwards getting on ball, you want them linking up, and then you want your backs tight, and you're trying to pass on as much knowledge as you can to them. So it can be hard work that way, but very enjoyable, and I'm enjoying the challenge at the moment. And they're a great bunch of lads to work with, and you know, they're very driven themselves and motivated, so my job is easy enough that way.
You mentioned there, David, at the start of the season, the expectations weren't too high, but have you surpassed your own expectations so getting through to the Corneybury semi-finals?
Yeah, definitely. Sure. At the start of the year, we met up in September. It was kind of difficult to get out. We were only getting out once a week for September and October. And because the club season kind of ran into them, and Island Rovers were involved in under 17 and Castlehaven were involved in under 17. So it was difficult enough to get everyone out. So we kind of designated one. We were out one day a week, Tuesdays every week until the Skellige game. And we went down to Kinmare. Expectations weren't high. We just told the lads, go out, give a performance. And I remember at the first water break, I couldn't believe it. We were after blitzing them, I thought, anyway, for the first 15 minutes, and we were up, I'd say, 6 or 7 points. And I remember towards the end of the second half, their manager just came down the line and he said to me, you have a serious team here. I think they were after losing the O'Sullivan Cup final as well to Tralee previous to that. So he thought that we had a good team. So I said, you know, we're going to have to walk up our ideas here and get out twice a week. And in fairness to the lads, we've been training twice a week since then. And they've all come on board and we're doing well now.
You mentioned that first win. That was a 119-107 win against Clash and Skellige, who have a really proud history in the Corneybury as well. So that got you off on the front foot. Like, it was a brilliant display and a brilliant result to kick it off with. And then it was Clash to Colin Ballincollig you took on next, and he beat them 2-10-12 points to book your place in the last eight. Was it very important that you backed up that Skellige win by beating Ballincollig?
Yeah, I suppose we were just, it was a big springboard for us, all right, the first game. You know, we had a lot of top performances from everyone around the field that day. And I suppose it was just to bring the lads back down to earth then after that and just say, we've nothing won, we're after our first win in the Kearney Vree in a good few years. So it's important to build on that now and make sure that we're still going after Christmas into knockout stages where you see the likes of Hammies there and Clonakilty the last few years. At that stage, no, we're kind of getting jealous here in Skibbereen of that. So we wanted to make sure that we were in the mix as well after Christmas.
And after those two wins before Christmas, could you see even the confidence and the self-belief in the lads starting to grow and build?
Definitely, yeah. Like, I know just talking to the lads there at the start of the year, you know, they were on about previous results that they lost down through the years to such teams. But it's all about forgetting that. Like, lads had to remember we have three Cork minors from last year. Robbie Minahan was playing senior club level. So, you know, you can build around that then. And there's plenty of confidence in the lads. And they're leading by example their trainings and stuff. And everyone is buying into it. And we've talked out training now every day. And they're a driven bunch of lads. And it's wonderful to see as well. Wonderful to see twice a week there after school that you can get 30 lads out enjoying their football this time of year.
I think what we saw in the recent quarterfinal win against Rathmore was the character of the Skibbereen side, because that was a match that ebbed one way, then the other. Then super sub Jack O'Brien came off the bench to get a very important goal late on, and you kicked on for victory. Like, what was the most pleasing aspect of that performance for you?
Definitely the way we finished the game. I was very happy with that. And our bench, we were very happy with our bench. As you said there, Jack O'Brien, super goal, you know, top corner, great finish. But equally, Isaac Hart came on there at halftime, lifted the standard of performance big time, kicked over two beauties. And Oisín Daly came on there towards the end and punched over an invaluable point as well. So obviously the strength of our bench anyway was a big pleasing aspect of the performance. And obviously I thought our fitness levels, I thought we were fitter. We finished the game stronger and we were much more composed than Rathmore in front of goal. We didn't have too many wides and we were fairly economical in front of goal, which was another pleasing aspect.
You mentioned the impact of the subs there, and I think it was 1-2 you got off the bench. So as a manager, you might have a few difficult decisions to make for the team selection for this weekend.
Yeah, definitely. There's more fellas after putting up their hand now big time. So that's what you want, though. You need a panel now. Nowadays, you need 20 fellas that are going to get you over the line, especially in a Munster semi-final now Saturday. So we'll need them all.
And it doesn't get much harder than Tralee CBS. They did a super win against Clonakilty Community College in their quarterfinal. And the Green from Tralee, they're the, I suppose, the reigning champions as they won this back in 2020. So what do you know about the Green and what are you expecting of them this weekend?
Yeah, we were just on the way up on the bus last day. I was just keeping track of all the scores. And I just seen that they ran away in the second half and that they kicked on really in the second half. I think they won by about 10 or 11 points in the end. So that'll be no easy test. I don't really know too much about them, really. I was just following their progress there in the O'Sullivan Cup, and I saw that they won that this year. And they're obviously watching the Munster final there last weekend between St. Finbar's and Aston Stacks. I think they had a midfielder come on there, Armin Heinrich, midfield. And I think Jordan Kassan there as well, previous Kerry Minor. I think they're the two standout players that everyone seems to be saying to watch out for. So we'll see.
Even for the school now, and for all the clubs that are involved, I was looking at the list of clubs there. Obviously, Castlehaven, Tyne-McCorrig, Island Rovers, Clonagale, Clonakilty, O'Donoghue, Kilmacabee, they all have players involved in this Skibbereen Community School panel. Like, it's just fantastic for everyone involved, that feel-good factor, to be involved in the semi-finals of the Kearney Vree.
Yeah, definitely. There's a great buzz around the school now the last few weeks, and in fairness, Principal Anton O'Mahony and deputies Dermot O'Donoghue and Tom Foley have driven at the football big time in the school this year. And, you know, it's inspiring for the younger lads in the school too. They can see the older lads there. They all know their names. And the Jack O'Brien got the goal, that Jamie O'Driscoll, Niall Daly, they all look up to all those fellas in the school as well. And it creates a great bond in the school. And obviously, like you mentioned there, the clubs, great backing there as well. We've actually trained in Rossa Park there a good few times and played matches there, and went out to Castlehaven and played matches too. So the clubs have been very accommodating that way. And as you said there, it's a wonderful opportunity for the players as well, because mostly you're going to be playing against these fellas at adult club level down the line. So you don't really see yourselves playing with them that often. And it's a wonderful opportunity. And I think you don't even realise it till afterwards when you're looking back at what a great competition it is, and you know the buzz that goes with it as well.
You've actually preempted one of my final questions, Dave. Like, think back to your own secondary school days, like college is football, like it's just brilliant to be part of, because you're playing with fellas that, like you said there, you're going to go up against in opposition over the years. Like, these are very special times for these Skibbereen Community School players. They probably don't realise it right now that what they're doing is going to be so special, because they'll have these memories to take forward for forever. But when you look back at your own time playing college's football, can you remember just how much you treasure those memories?
Yeah, definitely. And when I look at a Corny Vree semi-final now coming up as well, 2014 versus De La Salle McCroom, definitely springs to mind. And actually, it's funny, actually, the first two lads to message me after the game last day when we won were Michael Hurley and Sean O'Donovan from Island Rovers there as well. And Sean said to me, hopefully you go one step further now the next day. And I text him back saying, hopefully we will. So that's the bond, and it stays with you forever. You remember those games. You remember playing with those lads. And that's what I just try to emphasise to the boys inside and make sure that they can really just treasure it now and just take the opportunity with both hands now this weekend. Against Tralee. It'll be a big challenge, but I reckon we're ready for it, and there's a great spirit in the group, and we're ready.
I think Sean O'Donovan has hit the nail on the head. Hopefully you can take it one step further this weekend. The very best of luck, Dave.
Cheers. Thanks very much, Kieran.
The Star Sport podcast is brought to you by Access Credit Union. Access Credit Union, funding dreams for over 50 years.
Okay, Kieran, just to wrap up this week's podcast, I suppose one thing we have to mention is the amount of Olympic athletes we've now had on the podcast, because after all the rowers we've spoke to, Phil Healy, last week's guest, or was it the week before, a recent guest, Jack Gower, has been named in Ireland's team for the Winter Olympics. Skibbereen is the headline, because he's an alpine skier. He's got strong connections to Skibbereen. And Kieran, this is great news for both Jack and for the Southern Star, because we'll be covering him throughout the Beijing Olympics. And I've just heard from the higher-ups, we're sending you to cover it on the ground.
Works for me. If we get someone to cover the sport for the next couple of weeks, you can fly me out to Beijing starting on February 4th. Like you said, great to Jack Gower. He's in the Team Ireland, they're sending a team of six there. Jack Gower's gone out there, alpine skiing. And it's just a great story because he has that connection to Skibbereen. His grandmother was born in Dublin, he told us a couple of weeks ago, but she grew up in Skib. That was home for her. And Cork was where she met her husband too. And then he was part of the British Navy. And then they moved to Chile. And that's where Jack's father, Richard, was born. And then Richard and his brothers and sisters spent so many summers in Skibbereen. So that link to Skib is strong. And like Jack says, he feels it himself. There's a strong affiliation there. And his plan is to come to Skib in the summer. But will he be coming with another Olympic gold, silver, bronze? We have the full set. But Skib doesn't have a Winter Olympic medal, Jack. And I think that would sit quite...
It's about time. It's about time Skibbereen got their hands on a Winter Olympic medal.
100%, because who knows what the climate might have over the next couple of years. If the River Island freezes, like, you have the perfect training ground there for all types of winter sport. But in all seriousness, it's great to see Jack there. And I think we'll have him on the podcast. We'll have to get him on again quite soon, because it's an exciting time for him. And all aboard the Beijing bandwagon, Jack.
Absolutely. We look forward to following his progress. Kieran, what else can readers look forward to in this week's Southern Star sports section, which will, of course, be in shops on Thursday morning?
We obviously talked to David Welton earlier from the Skibbereen Community School angle. They're in their Corny Vree semi-final. But we mentioned too, Hamilton High School Bandon are in the other side of the draw. They're taking on St. Brendan's College Killarney again this Saturday in their Corny Vree semi-final. So we've news from the Bandon camp ahead of a huge game for them. The 2020 Carbery under 21A football final was played last weekend, and Donnie's beat Castlehaven by a point. And we have a full report from that. And this is just an interesting one, Jack, because this championship started before we even heard of COVID. This was back in early 2020. It was the time before COVID, which did exist.
And now Life BC.
Life BC, yeah. And now it's finished just after the COVID restrictions were were eased last weekend. So it's almost bookended the real heavy pandemic times for us here in West Cork. So it was a late winner there that got Donnie's over the line. We also have Holly O'Sullivan's column on the Cork footballers. We've loads else in there as well. West Cork League reports, bowling reports, basketball, motorsport, you name it, it's in there. And also just to flag, in next week's Southern Star, which is out February 3rd, we have the Next Generation feature. And this is our look at the, as it says on the tin, the next generation of talented West Cork sports stars that are on the way up. So these are young West Cork sports people, 21 and under, who are making a name for themselves, or who we think will make a name for themselves in their chosen sport over the next couple of years. We've run a feature like this before, but this is bigger, better. It's more comprehensive. It's a huge special, and it's not to be missed, because the likes of the Paul O'Donovan, the Fintan McCarthy's, the Phil Healy's, the Conor Horan's, the Brian Hurley's, and all these, the Orla Cronin's, the Libby Coppinger's, the Martin O'Brien's, they've been unbelievable ambassadors for West Cork sport, and they still continue to be. But the good news is that the wave of talent, that next generation, is impressively strong as well. So that's one to put into your diary to get next week's Southern Star, just to keep an eye on the talented young guns that are on the way up.
Yeah, and as Kieran mentioned, that edition of the Southern Star will be out on February 3rd, I want to say. 3rd. And there's obviously an edition before that, and that is in shops this Thursday. And if you can't make it to the shops, you can always subscribe online. Just go to www.southernstar.ie/e-paper, and you can read the Southern Star on your computer, tablet, or smartphone for less than €2 per week. And if you subscribe before the close of business on January 27th this week, you'll get 10% off your subscription price, and you'll also get a free Southern Star mug and a free Southern Star pen. So Southern Star swag available for anyone who subscribes before the close of business this Thursday. Terms and conditions, of course, apply, but there aren't that many terms and conditions, so nothing stopping you from logging on and subscribing.
And thanks. These mugs are collector's items, oh. Jack. I can't even get my hand to one of these mugs.
No, you're not allowed one. Absolutely not. Unless you subscribe, then I would probably allow it. I will. If you subscribe and get a 12-month subscription, paid for, that is, I will allow you to have a mug. But other than that, no, they are very exclusive. Only special people get them, especially those people who subscribe to the Southern Star online. Anyway, thanks for listening to the Star Sport podcast. We'll be back at the same time next week. If you enjoy these shows, and I know lots of you probably do, many of you probably don't, but if you do enjoy them, please make sure to rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, where we're now available, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts. Slán tomhle.